in Pineland says, I was 58 years old in 1994. I remember that it was pouring with rain. I went to Jan van Riebeeck High School to vote, but they then decided to go to the Civic Center. Could queue under the cover and all went very smoothly. Mainly remember voting extended to 2 days. Justice Albie Sachs is a man considered one of the architects of the South African Constitution, having been part of those multi-party negotiations for a negotiated settlement, a negotiated process in South Africa that sees the birth of this miracle of democracy in South Africa. Joins me now on the line, Justice Albie Sachs. Thanks so much for joining us. Over this period, are you gripped with nostalgia on the day of 1994, the 27th of April, or are you in sober reflection on the path that we still need to walk in this project of democracy in South Africa?
On this day, I'm submerged in interviews, and I've got already 4 lined up for tomorrow. So it's much more than nostalgia. It's really reflection on where are we now, and I have such a strong mixture of huge pride and quite deep sadness. And the pride is we are having general elections that will be free and fair. And that's fantastic. You know, at the time, people used to say to us, are you serious? One man, one vote? Are you serious? One man, one vote once. And the idea was that South Africans, black and white, the majority of South Africans were not so-called ready for democracy. Democracy didn't, it took 1,000 years in Europe to get democracy. And black people owed obedience to their tribal leaders, and democracy wasn't for us. The fact was, it was black leaders who introduced democracy into our country. It was a huge day. You said the lucky few. It was the lucky 20 million. I think not all of us are still around. I'm still around, very much around. So the pride is in the fact that we did it. We got a country that democracy works, and that it was the only way that our people could come together as a single nation. Mm. The sadness, of course, is we still have huge inequality. We have the crime we've been hearing about, and we've had corruption. There are degrees of violence that are quite unacceptable. So democracy in itself didn't bring about the changes as profoundly and as deeply as we hope, but still it's there. And what I surge with a deep, deep, profound conviction of accomplishment is the fact that we have a constitution, that we have a strong independent judiciary, we have a very lively free press, we have strong civil society, people speak their minds, and elections matter in South Africa. Yeah. The positive in that sense gives us the opportunity to deal with the negative.
Because it's now every South African's right to even question and critique this project called democracy. The Shack Dwellers movement, Abathlali Basim Jundolo, they commemorate in the week of the 27th of April, they commemorate what they call Unfreedom Day, and they held a rally of, I think, 15,000 people in Etiqueni this week. So a product of this democracy is even to question and to critique this concept of democracy in South Africa.
And that to me is a source of the reason why they feel so hurt and injured. Is a source of huge unhappiness. But the fact that they can protest, you know, in our day when we didn't have a constitution, you couldn't protest. Their leaders would have been all locked up. The movement would have been banned. In my own case, I think about myself now as a relatively privileged person. I was thrown into jail without trial because we didn't have a constitution under a law passed by parliament. My books were banned. It was a criminal offense to have a copy of my thesis, which was published internationally. I wouldn't have been allowed to marry Vanessa September, my wife. We wouldn't have been allowed to live together. I've only got 5 fingers left. The bomb attack on me wasn't authorized, even under the old apartheid constitution. But the constitution then, with parliamentary supremacy, allowed the authorities, the police to do anything and everything. And the courts went along with it. So in that sense, having a constitution, having the vote means we're living in a different country where people can protest, they can complain, they can organize, they can mobilize. The Abishlali even brought a case to the Constitutional Court where we ruled in their favor when they challenged Slum Clearance Act, which was being promoted by the KwaZulu-Natal legislature. So although the story that they tell is a story of understandable bitterness with the assassination of their leaders and repression they've been subjected to, for me, it's more than a consolation. They can speak out, they can vote, they can protest. And to me, that is fundamental.
Let's talk about this election cycle, the seventh democratic election in South Africa this year. And you have quite a number of political parties who want to move away from, firstly, the concept of a unitary state and a principle of federalism. You also have some political parties calling for complete secession and independent states. You also have political parties say we actually want to move away from constitutional supremacy in South Africa to parliamentary supremacy in South Africa. I spoke to the MK party yesterday, who described the current constitution, which many of the current members now were part of negotiating teams for the ANC, who agreed upon this current constitutional dispensation, saying, no, this current constitution it's Eurocentric, it's un-African. Your thoughts on this moving by some groups away from this, from our principle of an aspirational constitution in South Africa? Of course, not written in stone. Constitution has been changed 18 times. There have been 18 amendments. But your thoughts on this, not more than a murmuring of people saying, well, we don't like this constitution anymore.
Sure. And that the irony is, it's the constitution that gives them the right to say those very things. And yet, I think if the constitution were abolished and a new parliamentary majority decided, you know, these are pesky people and they're irritating and they're stopping us from getting on with our programs, and we're going to throw them into jail. We're going to ban the organizations. We're going to deny them the right to stand for parliament. The things that were done in the past, it's not purely theoretical. I don't think they would be all that happy. You know, the claim that our constitution is Eurocentric, it was the Eurocentric people who said democracy was not for South Africa. It was the whites who were saying somehow constitutions are for white people, the votes are for white people, black people live in Bantustans subject to their tribal leaders. The very notion of democracy for all, fundamental rights for all, was something carried forward by the leaders of the black majority. And it goes back to 1923. Not many South Africans know. The first Bill of Rights by the ANC was in 1923. In 1944, during World War II, when Churchill and Roosevelt came up with the Atlantic Charter for a post-Hitler world, the ANC, the strong pressure from the ANC youth then, said, what about us? After fascism and Nazism is defeated, what about us in South Africa? And they came forward with a charter of rights in African claims. The Freedom Charter I was there. There might have been 10 out of 2,000 people, 10, 20 non-white people at the meeting, saying South Africa belongs to all who live in it. And then I worked with Oliver Tambo in Lusaka, together with Zola Skwiya, Penel Madona, Bridget Mabandla, Teddy Pakana, Jobs Jobotwana, and others, on the foundational elements of our constitution. And the person who came up with what was the key idea of majority rule, one person, one vote, and a Bill of Rights protecting South Africans, not racial groups negotiating with each other, was Palo Jordan. And it can hardly be more African than Palo Jordan. And that was in Lusaka. Lusaka, last time I knew, was part of Africa. The constitutional guidelines that emerged from this our work over a couple of years, long before the Berlin Wall fell, was picked up by the organization African Unity. It was then sent to the non-aligned movement, to the Commonwealth, and even Margaret Thatcher had to agree to the core principles that came from Africa, and it went to the United Nations, where it was adopted by acclamation. So this was something that could not have been more African in its origin, in its value system, in its endeavor. And I always put it very bluntly, the whites in South Africa were too narrow-minded, too selfish, too self-centered to ever imagine a country that really belonged to everybody who lived here. And it was African people like Albert Luthuli and Oliver Tambo and Moses Katani, for whom my mother worked as a typist. These were the people, Ruth Mompati, people like that, who had that belief in democracy. And it's a democracy that is still working, and it's for all South Africans, and the majority of South Africans are black, and they have the right to express themselves through the vote. That's what gave us the equivalent of independence. In other African countries, independence came with an old flag coming down, a new flag going up, the trumpets, everybody clapping, and then it was over. In South Africa, 20 million people, the overwhelmingly majority whom were black, voted. And the vote was for that, from that point of view, the vote, democracy was our independence.
Retired Constitutional Court Judge Justice Albie Sachs, one of the architects of our Constitution. Thank you so much. Enjoy and celebrate your Freedom Day tomorrow on the 27th of